This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Ask Dr. Jesse Friday as we charge headlong into the weekend. Let us get to as many questions as we possibly can. I mean, people were even asking about the friggin' Mongols this hour. Let's get here, though. Jesse, I have a controversial question, maybe even for you. I think by now we've established that there's really no place we won't go here on this show. The subject of this one is black racism. I had thought in the back of my mind after Irina Zarutska was savagely murdered, it was this. Did nobody help her because everyone on the train car was black? I know the communists have been fomenting racism since Obama, but I thought there was no way it could be that bad. Then I saw the clips of what black pastors were saying after the murder of Charlie Kirk, and now I'm thinking maybe the racism could be that bad. Am I too far out there? What does the doctor think? Okay, so let's talk about this first. There is no question that a portion of the black community in this country is horribly racist, terribly racist. And there, because there's not really a social stigma for them to come out and be honest about it, they'll shout it from the rooftops. You know, I hate white people. I hate this. I hate that. And there's no question that there are black churches, mainly this black liberation theology, that's what you need to look out for, black churches, but that are disgusting and preach that stuff from the pulpit loudly. There's no question about that. No question. This has created in some black people a way of thinking that white people are evil. You can do whatever you want to white people. I mean, yeah, look, Obama's pastor. We played it last night.
When it came to treating the citizens of African descent fairly, America failed. She put them in chains. The government put them on slave quarters, put them on auction blocks, put them in cotton fields, put them in inferior schools, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No. Not God Bless America. God America, that's in the Bible, for killing innocent people. God America, for treating our citizens as less than human. God America, as long as she tries to act like she is God and she is supreme.
Imagine the effect it would have on your mind and soul to consume that kind of vile hatred with all your cultural influences. Because that is the life of some black people in this country. So I'm not denying any of that at all. And no, this is not something I would ever avoid on the show. I will, however, remind you that just because you see these videos on social media of this black pastor saying this or this gang of black teenagers doing this or that, remember, that's not all black people. There are all kinds of black churches and black pastors that are wonderful. There are my next door neighbor's black, and he's the most normal human being. Just he's us. He's you. It's me. Wife, kids. Just normal. It's not all. Are there huge, gigantic problems in the black community? There's absolutely no question. The fatherless crisis, the urban black centers are a disaster, and culturally they are wretched. That doesn't mean it's every black person in the country. That is not true whatsoever. So let's just be clear about those few things. Now, as far as the train goes, is that why they didn't help her? Because she was white? Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. But I will also say, and there's a term for this, I forget what it is, bystander syndrome, it might be. I think it says something to do with bystander. Human beings, when something terrible is happening in front of them, oftentimes they will freeze. And by the way, a black guy did get up. You just didn't catch it on the video. I think it was after 30, 45 seconds and ran over and tried to patch her up and tried to help. And obviously, look, when you take three stabs like that to the neck area, your prospects are not wonderful, okay? If they nick an artery, you're pretty much gone anyway. But a black guy did spring into action. People tend to freeze in the wake of that. You're shocked. You're confused, and remember, probably scared. That dude, that what is that black guy's name? DeCarlo, whatever the animal's name was. That was a big dude. Big dude, tatted up. You just watched him murder somebody. You don't know what he, now he's talking to himself with blood dripping from his knife as he walks around the train. It is a very normal human reaction to just kind of sit there and go, it's a very normal thing. Now, I don't want that for you. I hope you're the type of person, I hope I'm the type of person that would spring into action immediately, but that's a lot of hope because that is a very normal reaction. I saw a lot of people saying, why is everyone sitting there? Why is it? That's a human reaction to something like that. It's a very, very human thing. Bronco, you've talked a lot about taking back our country from the communists, but how do we take back our churches? Last weekend showed how dire the situation is, with many pastors refusing to talk about Charlie Kirk and the aggression of anti-Christian forces in this country. Is the best we can do to just find another church, or can something be done about the church leaders who both lack courage and discernment? Her name is Annie. Well, one, you do need to find a new church if your pastor is weak and pathetic, because you cannot be guided there. I told you the story about when I lost mine. Everyone knows that story now. When I lost my church after George Floyd died, pastor gets up, super nice guy, nicest guy in the world, and gives a sermon on white privilege, on his white privilege. And I said, goodbye. And I'll never, ever, 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 ever be back for any reason whatsoever. If he approached me and apologized to me, and from what I understand from other people who still attend there, he does regret that. But even then, I would never go back. Not because I don't forgive him. I would never go back because I need you to guide me and my family with strength and clarity. And if you are weak enough to get eaten up by the communists in the wake of a big outrage, I can't trust you with that. If your pastor in the past week or this weekend was effeminate, mealy-mouthed about it, I didn't agree with everything. If your pastor was anything but clear on losing a martyr, he was a Christian martyr. If your pastor was anything but clear, get out. And I know that sucks. Church shopping is the worst friggin' thing in the world. Chris, I don't know if it's the same for synagogue shopping, but it is the worst thing in the world. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, you got to, let's try this one. Oh, that kind of sucked. And now we got to try that. The last time we were church shopping, when we lost ours, I think it was 2 years before we found one. It's hard. It sucks. I know it sucks. I will not have my family guided by a weakling. I will not. If you cannot speak out boldly against the demons in this country who have declared open war on Christ himself, then you suck. And you should go work in the library or something. Sombrero Jesse, you covered the Mongolian Empire extensively during your previous history episodes, and I find it fascinating. But after the 1300s, I know literally nothing about Mongolia. What's the status of their country now? Were they in consideration for the crappiest country in the world competition? Okay, his name's Kenny. Mongolia is a kind of a normal place now. They're definitely not in the running for crappiest country. It's not some dump or anything like that. Mongolian people were actually really cool, really fascinating people. And I'll give you this little tidbit. The first time Donald Trump was president, he met with their president or prime minister. I forget what it is. They're big cheese. They're head of state. And they brought him a horse. You know, that's what obviously the Mongolian army was known for. They were all horsebacks. They were all on horseback. They were famous for their horse archers. They were a nomadic, horseback-driven people. Well, because they're still there in the Asian steppe, and they still value their heritage and their history, they're not ashamed of it. You should go look up, if you want something cool, go look up the statue of Genghis Khan that's in Mongolia. They're not ashamed of the guy who killed 40 million people. They're all, yeah, that's right. Don't forget it. Anyway, they brought Trump a horse. I don't think he could keep it. It's something to do with the laws. I think he had to give it away to something else. But isn't that so freaking cool? That's a great gift. A Mongolian. Oh, and the president or prime minister, you'll see it in the picture if you look it up, looked totally thick. I mean, he was a big dude. Mongolians were thick, short, but thick, stocky dudes. Still look the exact same today. It was great. All right, we'll continue on. I want to read this one, though. Jesse. I've heard you advocate for preborn for a while, and shamefully, it's taken me way too long to actually act. In the wake of Charlie Kirk's death, I finally felt driven to make it happen. To my delight, preborn allows you to donate in honor of a loved one. I didn't know Charlie. I've never even met him, but I do love his work, and I guess that's close enough, so I donated in his honor. Maybe if Erica hears this, she'll be blessed as well, in addition to the recipient mothers and their babies. I'm not sharing this to toot my own horn, and perhaps I shouldn't admit this, but I figure my church has all the bling it needs, so I diverted my tithe dollars for the cause. It'll be the best investment this year. Maybe you have other listeners who will do the same. Donating to preborn in someone's name is something people have done a lot. They email in, Jesse, I lost my mom, or Jesse, I donated in the name of my child. I donated. If that's something that inspires you to do, do it. Saving a life is a good thing, especially in the wake of losing one. Save that baby's life. $28. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So you got some bad meat out of the fridge, huh, Chris? Jewish producer Chris is a little under the weather today. Decided to play a very dangerous game. Decided to eat some meat out of the fridge that didn't quite pass the smell test. And I've done that so many times in my life. You know what I do it with? Obviously something you don't do, bacon. I do it with bacon. I'll give it a smell, and yes, it goes bad, idiot. It's pork. Of course it goes bad. Why do you think you people don't eat it? It's a filthy animal. I understand it goes bad. Anyway, it goes bad. It goes bad. And you know when it goes bad because it'll let you know, right? It has an odor to it. But one time I was craving bacon so bad, and it was all we had, and I gave it a smell, and I thought, a little bad, but I don't think, maybe it's my imagination. So I toss it in the frying pan, starts sizzling, Ob comes out. What are you cooking? That doesn't smell good at all. I'm like, that's bacon. She said, oh, throw that away immediately. Jesse. Dear Historical Oracle, he says, what is the difference between a Democrat activist using violence and a five-year-old throwing a temper tantrum? Well, question answers itself. Jesse, you said Ob complained about the smell of smoke in your house from the brisket last weekend. Have you considered moving your Easy-Bake Oven pellet smoker? It's not an Easy-Bake Oven. Outside, or is it just too heavy for your mini mittens? Also, in the past,
You said brisket was 5 or 6 pounds. Is your brisket from veal?
Okay. His name is Christopher. First of all, 5 or 6 pounds is plenty. Yes, it is, Chris. It's plenty. This is a very expensive cut of meat. Money doesn't grow on trees. 5 or 6 pounds is plenty of brisket. That's one. Two, my smoker, even though it happens to use pellets, is outside. I don't understand exactly how that whole house smells like smoke still. When the smoker was outside, it was against the house, I guess. So maybe it just came in through the cracks, obviously, somehow. What, Chris? What? Chris said, is a smoke supposed to be a bad smell? Well, it's funny you brought that up, buddy, because that's that's very similar to what I said to Ob when she complained about the whole bedroom smells like it now. I actually said, yeah, you're welcome. And that didn't land all that well. That didn't land all that well at all. She was so upset. Jesse, I watch your show and enjoy it. I'm usually good just watching, but after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, I was having having emotions. I'll ask Jesse what he thinks. There is talk of death penalty as a punishment. Do you think they will try to use mental illness as a defense, especially because of sexual orientation? Okay, first, know this, that it's very difficult to get the insanity plea through. This is something most people think that you all just plead insanity. It's really, really hard to get off using insanity. Very, very hard. Most of the time you see that done, it's because there's a crooked communist judge trying to let one of the animals go free. Remember that story? It's just an awful, awful story. There was this gigantic black woman who, I mean, I don't know whether she's mentally ill, possessed by a demon, I don't know, but in a grocery store parking lot, she pulls out a knife and stabs to death a 2-year-old boy. And then during her trial, when they were, you know, reading her charges and stuff like that, she was smiling about the whole thing. They let her off with just like a mental institution. No jail time, no nothing. How did that happen? Judge is a dirty communist. So that's about the only time that's going to happen. How this is going to work out in Utah, I don't know. I don't know. I can't predict the future on it. I will say that I'll be shocked if he doesn't plead guilty. But when you have this kind of tranny sickness in your mind, maybe he'll ask for the death penalty. I don't know. I know that from what we understand now, he told his father, when his father told him to turn himself in, he told his father, I'd rather just kill myself. Lots of these monsters who do these things kill themselves anyway. To be honest, I was shocked when they found him alive. You know how it took a couple days for him to turn himself in, which is still, by the way, very embarrassing for law enforcement. I'm sorry, that's embarrassing. It took you a couple days and the guy had to turn himself in. Anyway, when it took law enforcement a couple days and then the kid turned himself in, I assumed they were going to find him dead. These demons who do this stuff very often do it just to hurt someone on the way out. They're already going to kill themselves. They hate themselves, but they want to take something good, something wonderful with them. That's why a lot of these tranny shooters shoot up Christian schools, because they're just these wonderful places where wonderful kids are in there just learning. And it's an opportunity to take out the best of us on the way out the door, because they're demons. It's demonic. You have to believe in evil. You have to. Whatever your religious belief system is, you have to know that the devil is real, that demons are real. And if you can't see that now with everything going on around you, I don't know what to tell you. It is real. All right. Some guy's relocating from California. Somebody wants to talk about Franco. Somebody wants to know, why haven't we gone after George Soros in a meaningful way? All that's still to come. Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let's get back to him because we're running out of time. Subject to this one is, why wouldn't I want Franco? I keep hearing Franco is coming or similar. I've tried to find good info, so on and so forth. Is there a reason I shouldn't want a Franco here? It seems like we're making some progress politically now, but I worry what country will be left for my children. From what I understand, Franco stopped the communist revolution that was led by absolute animals. Maybe it was bloody, but should I prefer that than a slow death to the country of my ancestors worked to build? Look, I understand the desire for it, especially in the face of communist aggression, when they're killing us, when they're operating like they are. I understand the desire for a right-wing dictator. Give me someone who will rise up, smash communism once and for all in this country, and then we can just be done with the whole thing. But let me push back on this, or just caution you for a couple things. I'm not telling you you're wrong. First of all, the second you have essentially a dictator rise, that may sound really, really, really good, but that can turn bad really fast. Really, really fast. Freedom is what we want. What we want is to be free. Now, maybe you're saying, well, we can't be free as long as these communists are still attacking us all the time. And you're correct. However, I know last week was a tremendous loss, one that you're still sad and angry about it. I know. I know you're still angry about the actions of the Biden administration. I know all that is true, but we are winning right now without a dictator. We are winning right now. And it's because we're winning culturally. Those are the best wins. That we don't want a dictator to snuff out communism. We want culture to snuff out communism. Culture is more powerful than any of these things. You know, what society incentivizes, what it disincentivizes, that's what culture is. We want it to be unacceptable to be a dirty communist. That's what we want, and we are getting there rapidly. I know we have a very long way to go, but when we're winning, let's not get impatient and try to fast forward to the end and get a dictator. Now, you may come anyway. You may come anyway because it doesn't matter what I say, there is already an appetite for one. And that appetite only grows every time the communists do something more evil or anytime they speak.
The majority proceeded with a resolution that brings great pain to the millions of Americans who endured segregation, Jim Crow, and the legacy of bigotry today. We should be clear about who Charlie Kirk was. A man who believed that the Civil Rights Act that granted Black Americans the right to vote was a mistake. Who, after the violent attack on Paul Pelosi, claimed that, quote, some amazing patriot, unquote, should bail out his brutal assailant.
You hear that, and your blood pressure goes through the roof. But let me make you feel better about something. Your blood pressure isn't as high as hers is right now because she's getting fat. Really? What, Chris? She is. And I'm worried about it. I don't understand what is happening. Jasmine Crockett's so fat now, she has to wear a pillow in her lap. AOC's wearing garbage bags. I don't understand what is happening. It shouldn't be. Jesse, I'm just about set up to leave California. I haven't really seen much of the country. I'm thinking about taking some long weekends, check out some major city locations. He has to be in a major city. Rent a car, see some small towns. Do you think this will give me a good enough education to pick a good place to start over? There's no substitute for being there. You can do a lot of things on the internet today. I mean, shoot, the internet, you can look at a house from across the country and have a video and walk through the whole thing. Still no substitute for being there. It's the only way to do it. You know what I like to do in cities or new places? And boy, I'm about to sound like such an old dork. You know what I do? I walk them. I don't even want to be in a car. I walk them. Like when we did Boston a few weeks ago, remember me, Chris, Corey, we went back to Boston, hung out at WRKO, did Boston. I don't want to be driven around the city. I don't want to take cabs. I don't want to rent a car. One day I walked, I don't know how many miles it was, miles and miles and miles. I walked the entire city. I just walked the whole thing to the shore, to Chinatown. I've just walked the whole daggone thing because it gives you a much better feel to be physically in it, out of a car, out of a building, physically in it. If you are ever considering moving to a place, walk it. Even if it's a small town, park your car on one end and go walk. Just walk, pop into some shops. Of course, pop into some restaurants. Get some cheese sticks. Those are delicious. And don't roll your eyes, Chris. And if I may give you a piece of advice when you're walking, this is going to change your life. Wear your everywhere pants from Cozy Earth. Look, you're not even going to want to take them off when you get back to your hotel room. It looks like you're wearing khakis. They look so nice, you can walk them right into a steakhouse. But when you get home, they're just these, I don't know, I don't think I want to call them silky, but they're almost silky, stretchy. They're like wearing sweats that look like khakis. Get some freaking everywhere pants, man. I told you, I have one pair. If I had five pair, I would never wear anything else, ever, on my legs. My legs love everywhere pants. And ladies, don't worry. Cozy Earth has all kinds of stuff for you. Get yourself one set of sheets you'll never look back to. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. Jesse, you know what would make my day? If our government went after George Soros as the enemy of the state, seized all his assets, and prosecuted him. Why couldn't that happen? Well, I don't know that it won't. I don't know that it will either. But what I really, really like, is that I hear Donald Trump and Stephen Miller and J.D. Vance, I hear these people talking about going after their networks, going after the communist funding networks. It is so critically important. It's everything. We can't focus on one shooter, one killer, and win this. Communism is organized and funded. And honestly, a lot of it is still funded by us, but it is organized and funded. All this disgusting activism, so much of this LGBTQ filth and the race communism and everything else is funded and organized, and oftentimes by people outside of the United States of America. Not all of it. A lot of it's from within the country. I have said a million times that George Soros has been allowed to declare open war on this country and spend millions of dollars turning it into a sewer mortifies me. I cannot believe that has been allowed to go on for years and years and years and years and years. No country in the history of the world would allow a foreign-born rich guy to just attack endlessly without a response. There should have been a response years ago. It sends a bad message to other rich guys around the world who may want to get involved and do the exact same thing. It sends a message that that's the kind of thing we allow, that that's the kind of thing we're okay with. Maybe we should be sending a different kind of a message. Jesse, new listener here. You replaced Mark Levin in Louisville, Kentucky. And for the life of me and my failing ears, I'm not sure what name you're using for your wife.
Is it a pet name, an abbreviation or something? Truly enjoyed the show. Thanks for your service. Love your wife and family. her name is Aubrey. B as in boy. Aubrey. That's her name. I call her Aub. It's short for Aubrey. Aub is, I guess it probably does sound like I'm calling her Bob or something like that. It's Aub. Unless she's really upset with me about something, then I call her Princess. And that only seems to make her angrier, but I still try. One of these days, I feel like it's going to work. I say, Princess, and then I'll try to like reach out and pet her arm or something. And then that only makes her angrier. And she's like, I'm not a dog. Don't pet me. And this doesn't make anything better. She usually says something like that, which only makes me laugh. And then she gets more mad. It's a really vicious cycle. Jesse, do you think numbers should be written in words or digits? Digits. It's insane that I have to spell out the number 7 or the number 5 or something. This isn't Egypt. I should just be able to write a number down. It's crazy. You know what else is crazy? We only have one segment left. We'll do the best we can. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, Monday brings us Medal of Honor. Monday also brings us Haiti versus France, part two. It's going to be quite a day. Historical Oracle, my local warplane museum, will be having the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Moving Wall in a few weekends. Gosh, that's so freaking cool. I have a 7-year-old son who I'm bringing up the right way to honor and remember the heroes that died for this country. I want it to be interactive for him, not just names on the wall. Other than stealing an idea from you with Medal of Honor recipients and claiming credit for myself, where can I explain the story and then we can find the names? Do you have any other ideas how to get him to better understand and interact with it at that age? He loves war stories, is extremely interested in the military. For a 7-year-old, there are very good documentaries out there. I'm just trying to remember how appropriate they all are. That dirty communist Ken Burns did one that was really not bad at all. If you don't want to watch a Ken Burns thing, which I understand, 7-year-olds are very visual. A Vietnam War documentary would be a fascinating thing. It would be a very fascinating thing. That's kind of the route I would go, because you're right. I talk to my boys. My boys both have taken a school trip to Washington, D.C. And part of that school trip is go visit the Vietnam, go visit the wall, go look at the names. And I did the best I could beforehand to prepare them for that and to explain to them, and this might help explain to your boy as well, that when they're there, they're going to see people possibly crying, laying flowers down, things like that, and explain, those names, that's somebody's brother, that's somebody's dad, somebody's husband. Those names were all someone who didn't come back from that godforsaken place. So I think maybe that'll help. Bronco, seeing the transgenders at the local USPCA pistol matches, PSA pistol matches, never saw one before this year, and now I'm seeing different ones at matches all over the East Coast. I travel a pretty wide net for matches and have been surprised how frequently there is one or two at the match. There was a mini revolt last weekend as the old guard all registered for the match as ladies. I hope all is well. Looking forward to the new restaurant in your neighborhood being vegan. That's not nice. I want to remind you, this is not to scare you. It is to remind you, they are training. Are you? They have a group. Do you? The demons are organizing and training with weapons. They believe there's going to be an armed conflict. They want there to be an armed conflict. They believe in using violence to get what they want. Are you preparing for that? Are you preparing your children for that? Just a reminder. Another reminder that Hillsdale gives out more than 40 courses at no cost. At no cost. Maybe you're worried. I talked about inoculating your children, preparing them for a communist teacher. You understand that Hillsdale is a great way to do that. You don't have to have a wealth of knowledge inside of your head.
Hillsdale has the knowledge and they'll give it to you at no cost. Sit down and take an understanding capitalism course with your child. Don't let their first economics course come from some dirty communist teacher somewhere. Prepare them. Armor them with knowledge. That's what Hillsdale gives out. That's why they give it out for free. They don't have to do that. They could charge for all this stuff, but I get to do it for free. You get to do it for free. I have to drive an hour tonight after the show. Ob and I are going somewhere. We already have a course downloaded. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse gets you no cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. The Constitution. The Athens. You want to learn about the Book of Genesis. Whatever. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Jesse, when is the last time a conservative Republican shot a prominent Democrat? I agree with Eric Trump. The bullets are only flying one way. What say you, old wise one? Well, that's not something we do, and I'm glad we don't for a couple different reasons. One, I don't want you breaking the law, and I don't want you hurting anybody ever. That's one. Two, we are 2 weeks removed from the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Are we better or worse off as a movement than we were beforehand? We're much better. Angrier. More resolved. TPUSA chapters sprouting up all across the country. It's almost impossible to kill your way out of a problem. Dudes, especially dudes, like to imagine that we can. That is proven historically to be almost impossible. You don't stay nonviolent because you're a pacifist. And if they ever try to get violent with you, you be violent back. Don't get me wrong. But you don't stay nonviolent because you're a pacifist. You stay nonviolent because it's the most effective. Why do you think Martin Luther King Jr., why do you think he was more successful than the Black Panthers at getting equal rights, equal treatment for Black people? Well, because the Black Panthers believed in killing people and beating people up, believed in force, and all that did was turn people off. Martin Luther King chose a different way. There's a lesson there. It's more effective. We don't want the bullets flying both ways. Hey, Jesse, been with you since the beginning. I'm just wondering if we will see the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL put stickers on their helmets and patches on their jerseys for Charlie Kirk like they did George Floyd. He also says, I ask your audience to pray for my little brother, Ori, who has cancer. And this guy's name is Tim, so keep Ori in your prayers, one. Two, look, I've been as hard on professional sports as anybody. I'm still heartbroken to have lost my beloved NFL to the woke mind virus. I hate that. But I have to give credit where credit is due. Professional sports leagues in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination have been really wonderful. The NFL has. I think every team but four or every team but five, almost every team in the NFL had a public moment of silence. That's really cool. The New York Yankees, I'm not even a Yankee fan. Screw the Yankees, quit. Anyway, the New York Yankees had a moment of silence, a long one, and put his name up there. Professional sports leagues, you know I'm all too ready to savage them every single chance I get. They've been really great. In fact, a lot of corporate America has been really great. Remember, what got Jimmy Kimmel fired wasn't the FCC. It was because major carriers like Sinclair of ABC, you know, Sinclair had something like 64 stations or something like that, said, what he said is unacceptable and he's off of our airwaves. We're not playing it anymore. That's what doomed Jimmy Kimmel. Portions of corporate America are dying to get out from the communists that has covered them, from the communism that has covered them. They are dying for that. They want it endlessly. That's a very, very good thing. Now, I told you last weekend to put your phone away. I told you I was going to, and then I turned into a stupid liar. I couldn't stop. I ended up getting back on the phone. I'm going to try to be better this weekend. You try to be better than I was. Let's put our phones away, and I'll see you again on Monday, all right? That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.